have a really weird, strange feeling going on right now.
Uh-oh.
We've been here way too much this week.
Yeah. Well, it was really fun, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
right.
It was
Thursday
awesome.
Was awesome.
Thursday was amazing.
If you have not listened to the archive yet from Thursday night with Bill Nell.
It's over 2.5 hours.
Yeah, just a little over.
It's like 2 hours, 37 minutes
yeah,
or something
you got
like
it,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Oh,
my
God.
We had an absolute riot. It was so worth the rushing and getting over here and just
yeah,
throwing it together real fast and doing it.
Okay, get off work, rush to the Haunted Basement Studio, you know, plug everything in, get ready, call the guests, you know, that kind of thing. It was, like, amazing. But a flurry of activity, and it was so worth it because we talked with Bill now
but the information,
for 2.5 hours.
The information that we got that night, I have to say, it was one of the, I mean, for me personally, that was one of the strongest shows I've heard. I mean, I think we've done in a long time. Because it really, it was just like, well, it was Bill, really. It was Bill's
well,
show.
It's all Bill.
It
yeah,
was Bill's
it's
show.
All Bill
you know,
now.
For us presenting this, it was like, wow. I was so proud of that. And just, if you haven't listened to it, take the time, download it, burn it, put it on big loudspeakers at the office, wherever you're at, and let everybody hear it, because it was amazing. I have to say one more thing. Well, no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, the thing is on our website, which is, of course, www.ghostlytalk.com,
mm-hmm.
I even wrote up, see, the thing is I've got a wide array of paranormal things that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And, of course,
well,
there
I didn't see that. I haven't had a chance to go
there are some
yet.
Paranormal things that I'm not interested in as well, you know, but and I listed those as well. But the thing is I'm like, really into a lot of things. I'm way into Edgar Casey.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely into...
You're just carrying your book around holding it like a teddy bear earlier.
With my notes. Did you see my
oh,
notes?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. And so I'm way into Edgar Casey. I'm into, you know, free energy. The Montauk stuff, of course, is...
That's just numbing.
That's all stuff about, you know, it started... Montauk started with Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
So it... And when I read Bill Nell's articles on... I'm talking like I know him, Bill. Yeah. You know Bill.
Yeah, you know my man, Bill.
I know. Suddenly I'm name dropping. Co-host of Ghostly Talk. Suddenly everybody's on a first name basis. But no, I mean, I'm just so into, you know, like free energy and the stuff that Tesla did, the stuff that Keeley did, you know, things like that. It's just absolutely amazing. And so when he started writing these articles on ParanormalNews.com, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I've got to see if he'll come on Ghostly Talk.
Well, one of the big things that I learned this week, you know, I've always worshipped Albert Einstein. Did I say that right?
Alfred
Did
Einstein.
I say that?
Is that Albert Einstein's
oh, Jesus
brother?
Christ.
Albert
Einstein.
That's okay. It's live. Everybody understands. I do it too.
Okay,
edit that out.
Okay. Anyways, now we're back. Alfred Einstein.
Whoever
sorry.
That is. Yeah.
It's been a very long day. I've been mixing all day long at the rehearsal studio with the band, so I'm a little crusty right now.
But
Albert
no.
Einstein.
Yes. Yes.
One of the big things I learned about him. Now, Tesla, you mentioned
Tesla.
Nikola Tesla. He was a hands-on guy. He
oh,
built
yeah.
stuff. I mean, he was in it all the time. His hands were always dirty and greasy. He was always, because everything that came from his mind, he transposed
well,
into matter.
That's the thing. And he would, according to Al Balick's
mm-hmm.
Write-up or his speech that got transcribed.
Yeah.
According to that, Nikola Tesla would not only be able to do it himself, but he would be able to write down all of the things and give specific directions to his staff.
Uh-huh.
You know, I need you to build this. And it would be exactly, you know, what he'd want.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd look at it and go, this is a piece of crap. You know, and but they'd build it and it would do
it would
whatever
work.
It was he wanted.
It
would
always
work.
Worked.
Yeah.
It always worked. One thing about Nikola Tesla is when he built it, it would work.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And if he didn't think it was going to work, he would not build it.
It's just, yeah, why
Albert Einstein, not knocking Albert Einstein in any way, but he was more or less a theoretical physicist. He had all these crazy, cool ideas, but the problem he had is he was, I mean, this is one big thing I learned from Bill was the simple fact is he was horrible with mathematics. So he had people on staff. He said it on the show.
Well, I have a feeling Albert Einstein probably had.
I think he could get he could get around.
He has more of a theory of mathematics than I would
oh,
have,
yeah.
for example. I mean, I think that when you're talking about that, It's all, again, theory of relativity. It's all relative.
Yeah.
I mean, among geniuses.
Oh, yeah. I know. We're at a different level, so to say.
Albert Einstein needed his computers, which were the people who would do the computations.
Computers.
Yeah.
But he was more or less a theoretical physicist.
Yeah.
He had the ideas, and he just needed other people to help him get those ideas into reality, so to say.
Right.
So, I mean, those are little things you learn. I mean, it's the kind of stuff, I find it's fascinating, personally.
It was amazing. Yeah. I mean, talking about these people who shaped history.
Exactly.
Know, and amazing stuff. And Bill Nell, Alien Guy, he got a new website. I don't know if it's active yet.
No, he was talking about that.
I don't remember what it was. We'll link it up on the website,
yeah,
though.
Here's something that loosely ties in over the weekend that you guys need to hear about because you will laugh hysterically.
Okay.
Friday night, I'm helping my roommate, Fat Jesus, out right now with his band because they lost their bass player.
Okay.
So I'm filling in for a little while until they find another bass player. So I went over there on Friday night real quick just to learn about 4 or 5 songs. And after, of course, Tim's usual routine. Now, okay, his thing was he had his kids all weekend. So he was going up to, the city where, you know, his family, the ex-old lady lives.
Right,
in
right.
His words, to get his kids. On the way there, hey, Scott, let's stop and get a drink. Well, all right. You know, I got one going on Friday night. Why not? You know,
sounds like Fat Jesus to me. Yeah.
Hey, well, where do you want to go? I want to go. Let's go to Sneakers. Does that sound familiar at all? That does not sound familiar at all? Sneakers Bar? At 26 in Gratiot?
Oh!
I live right down the street from there.
Yeah, you do.
Do you know what? That particular bar is the bar that we were at, mm-hmm. and then we walked outside the door on the street corner.
Uh-huh.
And it was it snowing or raining?
Oh, we were freezing ourselves
to death. It was ridiculously cold.
Yeah.
And that's where I first said to Scott L., I'm like, Scott L., I've talked to you, like, via email. Well, our first email exchange was me saying, you don't have to talk like that.
Oh, yeah, I was kind of mean.
Who the heck are you to say that? But, so we didn't get off to the right foot, but then we went out ghost hunting. That was what our second
ghost
hunt.
Well, we met across the street at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm driving there.
Yeah, we used to meet at that McDonald's / Amoco or whatever it is, yeah.
So I'm driving there, and I didn't even think about it. I didn't even register at first, and we're cruising down the road, and I'm like, Sneakers. All right. Heck yeah, man. I haven't been there in like about a year and a half.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the car in front of me, which is the car, the hoopty.
Oh, yeah?
Stops running. He just bought this car, right?
Oh, my God.
Apparently, the gas gauge doesn't work right. Cause he thought he had a whole quarter of a tank of gas. Car stopped. Dead in his tracks.
Oh,
so,
no.
So now I have to, well, thank goodness I was behind him, so we had to shoot up the street, get a gas can, fill it up, take the gas can inside my car, which still smells like gasoline.
Always, yeah.
Come back, fill it up, and then get down to Sneakers. Cool, right? Now I'm like, oh, wait, this is nostalgia. I go, and I'm like, Timmy, you don't even realize the history behind this bar. You don't even realize the gas station across the street, the history behind the gas station across the street. This is so cool. So I'm just like raving on and on. Phone rings. I told you about his friend, the one friend.
Mm-mm.
You guys met? You guys, Bonnie. We have Bonnie here, by the way. Say hi, Bonnie.
Oh, the friend. Uh-oh.
You can get to the mic and say that. No. Get to the mic!
Hello.
Thank you, Bonnie.
I think she's here. I kind of heard that in the earphones. Heard a friend called, right? A friend called. And he was legitimately, you know what? I'm kind of busy tonight. I have to go get my kids, and I'm not going to be here very long. I'm going to be leaving. I'm thinking, oh, thank you. Thank you. Because I don't want this person in question is horrendous. Bonnie knows. She's horrendous. She's absolutely horrendous. And so does Will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you verify this, Will?
Absolutely freaking horrendous.
Thank you. Okay, so, I'm clear. A couple drinks, I'm out of here. No problem at all, right? So we're sitting there talking, man. You know, me and Timmy are talking. And all of a sudden, it comes behind her.
Oh,
and
no.
And grabs his breasts. And scares me half to death. The worst part about the whole situation is she brought a friend.
For you.
That was the intention. That was the plan, I think, behind that.
Can we say skanky hoe on Ghostly Talk?
Absolutely.
Well, did she find another skanky hoe?
She found a duplicate.
A duplicate?
They went to England and cloned a skanky hoe and brought it with her.
Oh, my God.
So, now I'm sitting here like, oh, my God. And a bartender, I became friends with the bartender. I'm just looking at her going, I'm hiding behind the poker game. I'm like, help me. Help me,
good
for
idea.
God's sake. Get me out of here. Do something, anything. Hey, guy, how you doing? What's up, hey? How you doing? What's going on? Hey, my friend Fingle, you know that?
And so, oh, no.
Hey, and I'll say her name. Let's just call her Becky. My friend Becky Fingle, too, Scott. And here's Timmy. Oh. Now, here's Timmy. If you know Timmy. So.
Timmy's, like, salivating and stuff, right?
To make this
like,
a 7-inch version, though, I am accosted by this 40-year-old.
Yeah.
Slithering, slimy, pathetic waste of a human being.
Oh, man.
You know, I hate to be so condescending. I hate to be so condescending, but when someone comes up to me, oh, my God. Well, first of all, how old are you? She thought I was 38 to start off with. So
okay,
she,
off on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But she actually came back on that. She dug herself out of that hole. I'm like, do I look 38? This guy over here is 40, and I'm, you know, she, well, you present yourself so mature, Scott. You act like such an adult. I thought you were older. Yeah, right. So you like older women? Well, you know, I don't like those older guys. You know, they're hard to get excited, if you know what I mean.
This, I am so glad. I don't know what I was doing Friday night. I don't care if I was cleaning manure out of a stable.
I would have
so
been
glad
happy
I was
to do that.
Doing that.
I would have had to pay to do that. I'd have given someone $20 to shovel manure for 9 hours.
Scott L., do you want to come and help me shovel manure?
Absolutely.
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
I'll be right over.
I got a big job to do, guys. Come help. Real quick, another lady walks in and sits down next to me on the other side of me now.
Oh, my
now,
God.
Now,
you were the skanky hoe magnet?
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, wait. Oh, wait. Oh, wait. Timmy, we're going to call her Skeletor. I'm in such trouble. I'm in such trouble right now. I'm gonna get sued. Okay, Skeletor. Timmy has to go. Timmy has to go.
Oh no!
So he leaves and she follows
him
out.
He has to go up and get the kids.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
God.
She follows him out, right? So she's gone now, and I'm by myself with this, the clone. With Bessie or whatever her name, with the cologne, Becky, whatever. Okay, arm around me. I mean, I. Do you ever need to shower? I mean, you really need to shower.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have this other lady on the side of me playing Keno. Excuse me, sir. I hate to bother you. Could you just verify these numbers for me? Okay, yeah. So I look at the numbers. I'm like, you know, dink on the screen on the paper. Hey, it looks like they all match. How much did you win? I just won $300. Well, hey, congratulations. Well, you know, hey, very cool, you know, but keep it low. There's a bunch of people in this bar, you know, and they're going to give you cash for that here probably. So, you know, keep it low. Don't say anything, you know. Becky, I'm deciding. What's going on over there?
Oh,
just
God.
Don't worry about it. Don't you tell me I have to worry about it. Just calm down. There's no reason to get upset. Wait, don't you tell me to come. Flies off the handle, yelling and screaming. I'm like, whoa, just calm down. Okay. Here comes Skeletor.
Oh, no.
With a big glowing grin on her face. And so I'm like, what happened over here? Now they start wondering what this lady next to me is doing. Oh, no. So the lady finally, well, I just won $300 on Keno. You ain't won! Huge scene in the bar. Every mullet in the bar turns around and looks. And here I am sitting there, just shaking my head.
Oh, man.
And needless to say, I got out of there.
Yeah.
I finally... I'm like, the bartender's like, what? You know, oh, you're cut off. Get out. I'm getting drunk.
She
dragging,
noticed your
I'm,
pain,
yeah,
finally?
I'm
yeah.
dragging the clone out of the bar with... I'm dragging her. I'm like, get off my leg. I'm not dragging her, like, carrying her.
Right.
She's... Get off me. Go leave. Bye. Get out of the bar. Oh, my God. Fresh air.
What's really interesting is I've been out to eat with you and Will and everybody here in the basement, you know, but specifically with you, I noticed that when the rowdies come in, you see, and this is great. This is something that even I do this too, mm-hmm. but not to the extent. I mean, I'm not as powerful, right?
What?
But the rowdies come
well,
in.
Thank
and
you,
they,
Doug. I appreciate that.
And they're like. Hey, why don't you think of these? And they're showing off their tits or whatever, their undersized, you know, tits. and you're all like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're not very friendly. And you're like, I don't have to be friendly. I don't know you. And it's so true.
Well, it is true.
So I imagine you were not like, because I always try and put icing on everything, you know.
Well, yeah.
On pizza. No. I mean, I try to sugarcoat everything and like make everything all like, you know, oh, you know, don't hurt your feelings, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? But you know, no, we're not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
But you're like, you know, leave me alone. And so I imagine you were not being kind to Skeletor and Clone.
Not really.
Yeah?
Like, get away from me.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. That's how I imagine.
I get out of the bar, though, and I'm like really happy.
Finally.
It's like 9:30 at night. I'm like, okay, I'm getting the hell out of here. Fresh, cold, clean air. It felt wonderful. Then this thing, like, right on my face. Just blah, 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 blah. Get in the car. Gasoline. Oh, I'm going to kill him! I'm going to kill him! On the phone I get, I hate you, Tim.
The thing is that particular bar is where Ghostly Talk
was born, and it had to be tainted!
And it was tainted now, yeah. Well, fortunately,
I'm so upset.
We'll have to go back up there and do some absolute like bar busting or something.
We got to do something because we need to bring this back because I'm very upset right now.
Bring it back around full circle to the happy memories.
Yeah. It was very, very scary. And it was like, I walked in there with such a smile on my face, and I walked out of there just so disgusted.
Oh, man.
And I thought, what do you think I did when I got home? I literally
took a shower.
Showered. I hate to be so condescending, but oh, my God. Well, I thought you guys would laugh hysterically about that.
That particular bar, yeah, that was pretty good. Skeletor. But that particular bar right there on the corner outside in the freezing cold is where I said, hey,
put this show together, man.
I think we should probably go on the internet and just talk about paranormal stuff and ghosts and stuff. And you're like, all right, hook it up.
Yeah, that's pretty much how
it went. Well, back then you spoke in basically one, two, or three-word sentences.
Okay.
And everything.
Did I?
Yes. It was like, you know, yo, man, what up?
Yeah, you talk much more now than when I first met you, too.
Yeah, you've come out of a shell of some kind because there was, you were like, hook it up, let me know. That was the whole answer.
Okay.
And all right, cool. But that was, and it worked. I mean, it really works.
Well, yeah, it works great. Now we have to fix that bar, though.
Yeah, we got to go and we got to do a party there.
I mean, I enjoyed my drink, if there's any consolation. I enjoyed my gin and tonic. It was very nice. I felt great. But I had to go home and just get in a hot shower and scrub myself with Brillo pads as hard as I could.
Well, for all of those who have not clicked off yet, this is Ghostly Talk.
Yes.
We run live every Sunday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Pioneer. That's pioneer.rolo.net. Mm-hmm. Our website, of course, is www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah.
Everybody's in the chat room. Go to ghostlytalk.com or pioneer.rolo.net. Get in the chat because everybody is there.
Yeah.
And they're probably laughing at us. I haven't been...
They're probably hating my guts.
I haven't been monitoring it, but, you know, so we are live in chat as well.
Good.
As well as being live on the radio.
Karma could not make it this week, unfortunately.
Oh,
it's a family issue.
Let's introduce ourselves. I'm Doug.
Oh, I'm Scott L.
Hey!
I'm Will.
Hello.
And I'm Bonnie.
And
get on the mic!
And that...
And I'm Bonnie.
And I'm Bonnie.
Was Bonnie.
Oh, this is Bonnie. Hey, Dan.
She's the GT support hoe.
Hi, Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie.
So we have Bonnie live in the studio. We're just going to call her Bonnie. Well, actually, we're going to call her The Bonnie.
The Bonnie.
Well, she's going to be hosting our 2-year anniversary party.
March 13th. That's the date now.
That's the date.
I swear to God.
Oh, okay. It's out on the internet now. March 13th, Ghostly Talk, 2-year anniversary party.
We invite a bunch of people, too. We're hoping they're going to come.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to invite, like, big names.
Like...
Bob Saget's going to be there.
Oh, rock! Oh, that's awesome.
Bob Saget's going to be live with us.
Can we get, like, Lonnie Anderson, too? Or?
Yeah, well, okay. we're gonna actually capture me beating the hell out of Bob Saget live on internet radio, I think.
Oh, that'll
I
be
can't
cool.
Stand that.
Just a little bit part and half-baked?
Oh, that sucked. I know what you're talking about, but he could say the F word for, like, 50 years in a row right now. And it still wouldn't make up for Full House. It would not make up for Full House. I hate Full House.
What about those twin things? They've like,
actually, yeah, I gotta find that website. There's a countdown still when they turn 18. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
What was their names?
Mary Kate and Ashley.
Yeah, the Olsen twins.
The Olsen twins.
There's a countdown to when they turn 18 still, so we're all of us like young red meat eating American boys. We're waiting for them to turn 18.
But when they were little kids, they were just annoying as all heck on that.
And they're annoying as all heck right now.
Because you know the second they turn 18, they're doing Playboy.
Oh, absolutely. No, you know what? They're going to do a bunch of movies. They're going to get huge. And then when the career slips, you start counting down then. Then they're going to do Playboy.
Yeah.
Like the Spice Girls. They have the one girl that did it. Oh, it wasn't hot.
Naughty Spice or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But regardless, we have a guest tonight.
For those of you who are still listening,
we have a guest tonight.
We are really excited because this is the Ghostly Talk, like, I don't know, guest series of some kind.
And it's still, we're building more. There's more.
There's actually more coming in. Yeah, I checked my email just before the show, and there's people saying, hey, you know, I can do this on the show.
Yeah, so we're bringing tons of more people.
There's going to be, like, all kinds of cool people. This is the guest series. We had, of course, Thursday, we had Bill Nell. Before that was a couple other people.
Nancy Ogren was on last
Sunday.
Oh,
my gosh, Nancy Ogren.
She was on. Great show. Check that out if you haven't checked the archive out.
The archives are there.
One quick note before we even go any further. We're going to get the archive up as quick as we can tonight. For those of you who maybe missed the first part of the show or whatever, you go to the archives. I'm going to have it up as quick as possible. I've been getting up really early.
It's been the same night. It's been within a couple of hours.
We're going on an investigation.
Yeah, we're going on a ghost hunt tonight, so it may end up being
a little bit later. I'm going to try to get it up tomorrow sometime. When I get home, I'm going to get it up as soon as possible. You know what? As a matter of fact, I'm going to give myself a deadline. It will be up tonight.
Okay.
It will be up by, let's say, 1 a.m.
Cool.
There. Okay, I'll have it up by 1 a.m. So I will have it up for you guys to listen to or download in the morning. So when you're listening to this now, disregard all of this.
Yeah.
Stupid. Tonight we have Troy Taylor.
Troy Taylor.
He's going to be calling in here probably in a few minutes, actually.
An eminent author. I mean, he's published books on ghosts, about everything, the ghost hunting guides, everything. So it's just...
Troy's responsible. If you don't know the name, first of all... His name is everywhere.
Right? Yeah, who hasn't run across, like, prairieghosts.com and,
that's,
you know,
the
stuff
site.
Like that? Yeah, and American Ghost
Author,
Society.
Author, speaker, webmaster, president of the American Ghost Hunter Society.
So,
there's just so much going on with this gentleman. We're going to let him speak for himself.
Oh, he's... Yeah,
I'm sure he has plenty to say.
Yeah, I hope so.
Absolutely,
I hope so because I'm sure we've got questions and want to hear everything he says.
Yes, so it's going to be a rather interesting show, I think.
I hope so.
Anything else going on? Anything else in the news? Do we have anything going on whatsoever? Because we've run
absolutely
on.
Nothing.
I don't have any more bar stories to tell to fill in this first bit.
Well, the thing is, I want to talk about that real briefly because people probably heard that story and they're like, "What the heck are they talking about?" That particular bar, that particular corner, that corner that's on 26 and Gratiot, right in New Haven, beautiful downtown New Haven,
Michigan.
If there is one. And
we've got little downtowns.
Yeah.
They're called gas stations.
And anyway, in this little tiny bit of Michigan, that particular corner is where Ghostly Talk was born.
Yeah, man.
And it's also where we used to meet. We would all meet before ghost hunts. We would meet across the street from Sneakers.
Get something warm to drink and then shoot off.
Yeah, you get some stuff to, get your munchies and your sodas and your hot chocolates and coffees and meet outside behind the cars, and then everybody like takes off from there.
It was quite a little powwow center for a while.
Yeah, it really worked.
There was a lot of fun meet and greets there going on.
A lot of cool stuff and showing off new equipment. A lot of that happened there. Look what I got.
It was such a fresh time for all of us. We were all fairly new to like really getting involved with this sort of thing, so we were all horribly excited. And it was like, wow.
And you and I experienced that, okay? Uh-huh. And you didn't experience it there at that street corner, Bonnie, but you experienced similar to that because we would meet at, like, houses or restaurant parking lots or whatever out, kind of west suburbs kind of thing, or sometimes downriver and sometimes out here. Mm-hmm. But so you never experienced that, like, anticipation kind of thing of a ghost hunt. Standing out there freezing at that gas station, it was really something. There was an energy in the air. But Will actually, you did it a couple times. You went to that place, right?
With those same people.
But it wasn't with us. Yeah, I know.
After
it wasn't with us. Was it the same? Like, was it the energy, the anticipation of the hunt, or was it more like wondering if they were going to show up?
Well, the first time they did show up, which was kind of cool. But after that, they just never showed up again.
Ah.
They would say, oh, yeah, meet us there. Remember, meet
strange.
Us there at this time. And then we would wait and wait and wait. And then we were like, okay, screw them. We're going out anyway.
Lesson for today, kids. Punctuality is very, very important.
Well, we actually gave for those hunts, because, you know, people came from all over the place for our hunts.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And so, what I mean, you know, one lady came from Ann Arbor. There mm-hmm. were people coming from downriver. There mm-hmm. were people coming from Macomb County,
yep.
you know, various far-flung reaches of Macomb County.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had all kinds of people meeting there. We gave a half hour. It was
yeah,
like meet between 9 and 9:30, and then at 9:30 we leave, whether
we're
you're there or
too.
Not. Yeah, it's like we're gone. And so and then we would go from cemetery to cemetery or public place to public place or whatever. And but there was this that half hour was probably that was as exciting to me.
Oh yeah.
That initial half hour at, you know, waiting for people to show up and talking about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Was as exciting as the afterglow. The afterglow is the other part that's very exciting, and that's afterwards when you're all, like, standing around the cars freezing to death.
Yeah, you're all happy.
And talking about, like, ooh, I felt this, I saw that, mm-hmm. I heard this, you know, that kind of thing. And now, of course, we're a little bit older and wiser, and we do the afterglow at, like, what, Denny's or whatever? Bonnie's favorite place, you know? Where Will always orders moons over his hammy.
Right.
Yeah, so there you go.
You know, that same gas station is where I met you, Doug, for the first time.
Yes, that is. I drove up there with something to give you or something, or to give...
Well, you couldn't go, because you had to go out to
yes.
fix stuff. Fix
servers. I had to go to Southfield that night,
mm-hmm.
and so I couldn't actually go. But I went out there and met you and your posse. You had a huge posse of people there.
Yeah, a whole, like, two other people.
Will and his boys, his crew. Amazing. Well, there was a lot of history there, though. That was the whole point, I guess. It was ironic that all that had to go down and really taint the whole
I know,
beauty
it,
of that area.
Spot on the earth. I know, because that spot on the earth, it actually has a really, it's a really special
it's very
place,
significant
for,
place
for us.
I mean, I drive by there every once in a while still. I'm just like, wow, man, this is a pretty... Yeah. A lot of cool stuff, you know, a lot of new people I met that I'm still hanging out with now, obviously. I met right in this very area, got to know, you know, to a certain degree. Unfortunately, Skeletor messed that up for me. We'll work on that.
Skeletor and clone, yeah.
Let's take a break here. We got to get ready for Troy.
Yeah.
He's coming into the studio. Oh, he's calling
in. He's calling
studio.
In, yeah.
So,
or we're calling him. Which...
No, he's calling in.
Okay, excellent, excellent.
In. So we'll be right back. Ray Chill.
Yep, everybody hang
don't
out.
Don't be too we'll, mad at us. Jeez, just calm down.
No, I think they understand.
There's no reason to be angry.
This
here.
Is a show by ghost hunters for ghost hunters and paranormal enthusiasts.
And ugly chicks like us, too.
And
absolutely.
We'll be right back, hopefully, with Troy Taylor.
Free to do other things? Try a stagehand tool belt. Stagehand tool belts can accommodate any task, whether you're building a stage or bringing down a haunted house.
Stagehand tools.
For all your industry needs, we have, for example, EMT pouches, radio pouches, tape measure holders, mailbags, and numerous flashlight accessories. Just go to
www.stagehandtools.com.
And see all the cool stuff that Stagehand Tools has for you.
www.stagehandtools.com.
We know where to stick it.
Hello, this is Aaron.
This is Jennifer.
And something very dark would like you to listen to Ghostly Talk.
Hi there, this is Heidi Hollis with AlienAdvice.com, where I try to give you some insight on anything that's a little bit strange. I actually have a question today from somebody named Sissy. And Sissy asks, I'm interested in aliens, but now I'm confused. As a believer in aliens, do you think that God is real, or do you believe that God does not exist? I'd love to hear what you think, because I don't know how this would affect my opinions on aliens. Sissy, I get this kind of question all the time, and I say, you know, who says there are any limits in this world of no limitations? Yes, I believe in God and aliens, too. I mean, who do you think created the aliens? It's been my experience that a lot of aliens acknowledge there is a God, and it's just kind of a common sense type of thing. So believe it or not, there's room enough in our heads and hearts to believe in the existence of aliens and that God is real too. So this isn't a talk between good and evil. It's just about taking in the facts.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm a co-host, Doug.
I'm Scott L.
You're Bonnie.
Would you get on the mic?
Say Bonnie.
I'm Bonnie.
Thank you, Bonnie.
I actually heard it in the earphones this time.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was good.
Good job.
Just give me that look again.
Ghostly Talk.
Give her meds, please.
Ghostly Talk, of course, the www.ghostlytalk.com. we are in the chat rooms. We're monitoring. Will's dutifully monitoring the chat rooms, trying to see if anybody has questions and stuff like that. Actually, I think they're just having a big party in there, aren't they?
Yeah, it's basically a party, so yeah. Actually now that Kelly's in there.
Oh, Kelly popped in. Oh, awesome. Okay. There's Kelly, Scott K. I saw Phobos was active. Loner popped in.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just like, I don't even know. I was monitoring briefly. There's a lot of people in the chat room. They talk, they chat in the chat room during the show.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm in there almost every other night or so, just without the show being on, you know, just to say hi and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just tons of people in there. Go visit the chat room. If you have a question for our guest for Troy Taylor, just mention it in the chat room. Will see it, and he'll write it on a piece of paper.
Will he?
Well, he did that one time.
He usually just grabs me with my hair.
Yeah.
Hey, Mary,
but anyway, we're live on Pioneer Radio from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening to this at any other time, you've either downloaded the archive or you're listening to it on an archive stream, because we're replayed on KSSX.com. We're replayed, of course, on Pioneer.Rollo.net.
Moist FM.
Moist FM. So we're replayed on various outlets throughout the Internet.
Which is very cool.
And I know that. Totally rocks. So we're and there's more in the works too. So
we're working with it.
Yeah,
get that name out there. Get it out there. All right.
So
check this out.
Yes. Who do we have today? Tell us about it, Scott.
Mr. Troy Taylor is on the line.
Do we need more of an intro? I mean, I think everybody knows who Troy Taylor is, but let's go ahead and do the intro thing anyway, since, you know, we bothered to print it up.
Okay. Well, it wouldn't be a complete waste of this ink and dead tree.
Right,
so.
Right.
Here we go. Troy Taylor is the author of 30 books about ghosts and hauntings in America, including Haunted Illinois, The Ghost Hunter's Guidebook, and many others. He is also the editor of Ghost of the Prairie magazine about the history, hauntings, and unsolved mysteries of America. A number of his articles have been published here and in other ghost-related publications. We post them on Ghostly Talk site, too. Or they go on Paranormal News. They're everywhere.
Always on Paranormal News, yeah.
Troy is the president of the American Ghost Society, a network of ghost hunters which boasts more than 600 active members in the United States and Canada. The group collects stories of ghost sightings and haunted houses and uses investigative techniques to track down evidence of the supernatural. In addition, he also hosts a national conference each year in conjunction with the group, which usually attracts several hundred ghost enthusiasts from around the country. I think that's all I need to say here concerning this gentleman we have on the phone. Mr. Troy Taylor, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Hi, guys. How you doing this evening?
So far, so good.
We're doing pretty good right now.
Yeah,
actually.
And it's so cool to be able to talk to you. Of busy people, I think you're probably one of the busiest.
Well, I try to stay busy. Normally, this time of year, it's really, there's just not much going on. And we just decided that this year we were going to change that. So we've just had so many things going on a consistent basis through the winter. Because, I mean, I'm sure you guys know, ghost hunting is kind of and pardon the pun, but really kind of a dead thing in the wintertime. I'm not trying to be funny.
As a matter of fact, last year in January or February, one of the Ghostly Talk shows was called and titled Ghost Hunters Downtime.
Yeah, I mean, it really has become that way, and we just decided to try and change it this year, and we've had a lot of stuff going on. It's been really busy, and very unusual to be this busy, but we had one of our haunted overnight excursions in January last weekend, and then this weekend we had one of our chapter meetings for the St. Louis, Illinois area in the American Ghost Society, and then I've got investigations coming up. We've got two more haunted overnight excursions before the winter ends at the Lent Mansion in St. Louis. We've got our Dead of Winter event coming up. I mean, it's just like all of a sudden it's winter has gotten busy, and then once spring gets here, then all the conferences start, and that's when I do a lot of my traveling. Gettysburg, San Francisco, Ohio.
You're coming to Michigan too.
Yeah. I'll be in Michigan in August.
We'll be there. We're going to be there.
Virginia in August. I'll be in Baltimore in July. be in Tulsa in September, or be in Louisville in September. It's just like every month I've got someplace that I've got to be, you know. So it's gonna be an exciting year, I think.
And
really, things have really been busy, and I think that interest is really peaking with the general public in ghosts, and I think you guys are probably seeing that same thing too, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
And you're almost always the headline speaker, aren't you?
I don't try to be. I am one of those guys. I hate people calling me an expert. I hate that kind of thing. I don't think that there is anything such, you know, as an expert when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Oh my God, so true.
I like to be entertaining, and I think that the entertainment factor for a lot of people, I mean, I've always felt like the only way to really get the general public interested in this kind of stuff is to make it entertaining. So I try to make it entertaining. I've got a couple of presentations that I do that are almost stand-up comedy as much as they are ghost stuff. But it's about ghosts. I mean, that's what it's about. But I mean, as you guys know, I mean, this can be pretty funny. I mean, you know, a lot of really stupid things happen when you do investigations, and you know, some of the people that you encounter. And I'm not even talking about other ghost hunters here. I'm talking about the people that you run into, you know, who think their house is haunted. You know, Elvis is living in my bathroom. You know, nutty people.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So this kind of stuff can be a lot of fun, and I think that's why I think I get invited a lot, is because I try to make it entertaining. And it's not, if it's boring, and if it bores you, you know, get out of it. Don't do it. If you're bored with it, then you need to be looking for a different hobby. You know,
exactly.
So
well, that's one of the things we do on this show too. We're out here trying to let people know. I mean, this is a big thing we've set out to do, is that people that are into the paranormal, that's like a real big hobby in their life or something they're really trying to excel in or strive for or whatever you want to do, they're not these egg-headed people that sit and read books all the time and are very eccentric and, you know, they're very pale-skinned. They're regular people that have emotions and have fun, and they have a sense of humor also. And that's the thing. It's important.
I completely agree with you. I mean, that's one of the things that I try to make it a point to let people know. You know, we get these, you know, jerk-off reporters who come to a conference or something that we do, and they think that everybody there is going to be like a geek who lives in their parents' basement, you know, who's never been with a girl. You know what I mean? That's what they think that we all are. And so they show up, and they're like, wow, these people, there's nobody here in, like, black makeup. No, there's not. You know, we're just ordinary people who have an unusual hobby. This is what we like to do. And
yeah.
And actually, it's not even so unusual anymore. I think it's becoming more and more mainstream all the time. When you pick up a newspaper or something and you see, and a bad example here, but like, you know, Ricky Martin moved into a haunted house, or, you know, J-Lo thinks her house is haunted, or Sting woke up in the middle of the night and there's a ghost in his apartment. When you see that in a mainstream newspaper, and it's people who the public perceives as, you know, maybe not a wacko, or at least a total wacko, they realize that there is something to this stuff, and there are normal people who actually believe in it and go out after it and look for it. And I think that doing a show like what you guys are doing, or doing, you know, conferences and trying to get the general public involved, not just other ghost hunters, I think that it really serves a purpose. I really do.
It really does, because it's getting the word out there, A, and B, like, we just hammered this into the people that are listening. Skull, mm-hmm. We're not people who are, like, you know, with no personality whatsoever.
Well, that's the thing about Ghostly Talk, I think, is when somehow, you know, Scott L. and myself, Doug, we somehow have this bizarre on-air chemistry that people listen to, because we do laugh.
Yeah,
we do talk. We do talk about our bizarre experiences out ghost hunting.
Yes,
and many of them involve Bonnie.
Yeah,
and so I mean, this is what we do. And
the Bonnie, by the way, the Bonnie,
and people really, for some reason, they tune in every week.
It's very cool.
Awesome.
But they're like you just said, Troy. They're a lot of ways. I know I learned this in college, was that you start a presentation with a joke.
Oh, yeah. I always start with a joke, but I just usually do jokes all the way through.
Yeah, you just keep going.
Hey, that worked. I'm going to keep going, yeah.
But some of the greatest...
If they're laughing, I'm getting through to somebody.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
If they're not laughing, then I need to cut this thing short, because it's mm-hmm. not working. I mean, you know, I can't say that I do every single presentation that I've ever done is, you know, some kind of joke fest. But on the other hand, this stuff can be be pretty funny. I mean, there's a lot of silly things out here that a lot of people take way, way, way too seriously. And if you can't have fun with it, if you can't laugh along with, you know, doing a radio interview and, you know, you're with, and I've used this with you guys before, but you're with the Morning Zoo guys, you know, who just want to make fun of it. Well, if you can turn it around on them and, you know what, make fun of it a little bit yourself, then they'll shut up and let you talk.
Exactly.
Because if they realize that you do, like you said, if you do have a personality and you don't, and you do realize that there is something to make light of with this, I'm not making fun of it by any means.
No.
Or making fun of the people that do it, obviously, since I'm out doing it.
Mm.
But man, I don't mind laughing at myself. And if you take yourself that seriously, you're definitely in the wrong field.
Exactly.
When you go, because I know you go to all interesting haunted places all the time, and Alton, Illinois, of course, is where, I think that's where you publish out of, right?
Yeah, I moved to Alton about, I guess, almost 6 years ago now, and that's, we really, we're starting out doing some stuff up in central Illinois, and we moved to Alton and really got known on a national basis for doing a lot of stuff. And I travel a lot, and I mean, as you mentioned, I write a lot of books. But the thing with the books, and this is a question that people always get me all the time, is they're, oh my God, how do you write so many books? Well, this is my full-time job. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if you were non-productive at your full-time job, you'd get fired.
Exactly.
For most people, this isn't a full-time job. It's a hobby, this kind of stuff. But for me, it's the other way around. You know, what I do on the weekends is a hobby. What I do with the ghost stuff, that is my full-time job. And it's believe me, it's not anything that you're going to make $1 million at. And as soon as you realize you're never going to be, you know, the next Stephen King, who cares? You know, I'm having a good time, and I'm doing what I want to be doing. I'm my own boss, which sometimes means that you go short on groceries. But on the other hand, you don't have to answer to anybody. You can do pretty much what you want to do. And so that gives me a chance to collect anything I want to collect and write about whatever I want to write about. And so that's what I do. I mean, that's what I do all day long, is I write. And so it becomes a productive thing. I mean, I put out a lot of books. I've written a lot of books over the years. And I'll just keep writing more, you know, because that's what I like to do. I like to tell a story. I like to entertain people. And I like to, you know, get the word out that there is something to this stuff. So yeah, I don't even remember what the question was.
No, it was pertaining to
that. I was somewhere, and I don't even know where I went.
But now I want to know, well, when you sat down, did you, like, sit down one day and say, like, oh, hey, look, you know, I'm going to be an author, and I'm going to write about ghosts, or was this part of a 1, 3, 5, and 10-year plan, or did it just sort of evolve?
Yeah, I mean, really, it sort of evolved, because I was always interested in this field for as long as I can remember, and in the mid-80s is when I actually got involved in actually going out ghost hunting, but I never really knew that it would turn into a full-time job by any means. I really was working in the book business, so in a way I was already in that field, but I had the chance, because I kept running across these ghost stories in the area where I live in central Illinois, I kept finding all these ghost stories that no one had ever written down before. And I kept thinking, man, if somebody doesn't write these down, they're going to be lost. And I had always, you know, I had written some stuff for newspapers and stuff like that, and I had done it just a little bit on the side, a little freelancing thing, some short stories and that kind of stuff, but I'd never really written any books. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to write this stuff down, because otherwise it's not going to get, you know, people just aren't going to find this stuff. It's going to get lost, and one of these days nobody's going to remember this stuff anymore. So I sat down to write a book, and the first book I did took me like a year. Now I do like 5 in a year, but it was tough to get started, and it was tough starting out. But a buddy of mine made it real easy, because he suggested to me, hey, you know what would really be cool is you're going to put this book out. What do you think would happen if we took, like, if we went out and, like, rented a van? And he said, we took people around to these haunted places that you're going to have in your book. Maybe that'd sell some books. And I said, oh, you mean like a tour? And he said, oh, yeah, it'd be cool. So we pitched the idea to a local radio station and said, hey, we want to do this tour. And they thought it was the dumbest thing they'd ever heard. They said, hey, you know what, we're not going to, nobody's going to buy tickets to this thing. This is what they told us. But if you really want to do it, we'll get, see if we can get a sponsor for the bus, and we'll give the tickets away for free. And we'll see if we can even fill up a bus. Okay, well, by now we have no self-esteem left at all. And so we decided, yeah, we'll, we'll give it a try, but probably nobody will come. The first day they announced the tickets, they had 600 phone calls, which obviously filled more than a bus. We jammed the bus full of people, took them around, did the very first tour that we, you know, I had ever thought about doing, and this has been, this 10 years ago now. And after that, it just became a full-time thing. I mean, I've been doing tours now for the last 11 years, and we've never had a tour we've had to cancel because we couldn't find anybody that wanted to go. Anyway, we put the book out, and after the getting all the publicity for the tour, the book came out. And keep in mind, this first book was kind of a little self-published thing. Looked like, literally looked like it. It's something that I printed up in the garage. And really, it was just like typewriter sheets that we'd been able to get some local printer to bind for us. And we sold 75,000 copies.
Oh, my gosh.
That's when I thought, you know what? Maybe there's something to this after all.
Maybe people are
after
interested.
That, I just, that's
a subtle hint.
Yeah. People are interested in this. But what I had started is you get to go to all these places all over the place, and a lot of these places are haunted. You've been on these tours, obviously. You know, giving these tours, you've been around, you're going to the mansion in Missouri or whatever, in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Things like that. So you've been to these haunted places. Have you had anything paranormal actually happen to you? Or unexplainable, even.
Oh, yeah. I've had, I've had a lot of things over the years. My thing is always, if you write about this kind of stuff, one of these days you'll become part of the story whether you want to be or not. When I first started out, I didn't necessarily want to be part of the story. I just really wanted to write about it. Even though I had been ghost hunting for a while, it was one of those things where, you know, after 5 or 6 years, I'd run into some interesting things, but nothing that I thought, oh, well, there's just no way I can explain this. And I think that's probably good, because for quite a while, with nothing happening, I became pretty skeptical of a lot of the stories I heard. And so I've tried to maintain that, because I think being an open-minded skeptic, where I'm open to the possibilities that it either is or isn't haunted, I could go into these places not invested in any way. I don't care if it's haunted or not. Let's just see what happens. So after all that time, yeah, I've had plenty of weird experiences. Some I've written about, some I haven't. We did a haunted overnight last weekend at a theater where I had actually, years ago, had been doing some volunteering and had one of the very first ghostly experiences I'd ever had. I was working on the stage and I was in the theater by myself, and I was behind a curtain, and I distinctly heard somebody walk up the steps in hard-soled shoes next to the orchestra pit in the theater and walk out onto the stage. It was so real that I actually said to these people out loud, hey, I'll be right there. I'm behind the curtain. I'll be out in a moment. And when I came out, the stage was empty. Now, I knew that this theater was supposed to be haunted, but that wasn't really what I thought had happened. I was sure that somebody had been there. I searched the whole theater, and the place is huge. Searched the whole theater. I was even so sure that I actually called people that I knew who worked downtown to see if they had been in the theater, and nobody had been there. And so that was the point, I think, one of the first experiences that I'd had that I thought, wow, you know, maybe there's something to this. But since then I've had other things. I've been at places where I feel like I've been touched, cold spots. And this doesn't, I'm not even talking about stuff that we've picked up with meters and equipment and cameras that I just don't really have an explanation for. I mean, I'm talking about things that I've just personally experienced. But, you know, you're talking about, now I'm talking about 17, 18 years I've been doing this. And, you know, people always, one of the things that people always ask me, oh, have you ever seen a ghost? Two times. I'm 99.9% sure they were ghosts. One of them happened in Indiana. A friend of mine and I had gone to investigate this farm that was alleged to be haunted by the owner, and we were actually at about 2 o'clock in the morning in the barn. We were the only ones in there, and we saw this light, and that's the best way to describe it, to say that it was probably a 4-foot-long by 1-foot-wide light, and it was just so brilliantly white. I don't think I've ever seen a light that bright before, but it came in through a locked door and lit up the inside of the barn, which moments before had been so dark we couldn't see our hand in front of our face. And it moved through the barn probably about 10 feet away from us, and it literally went through walls, passed through one wall after another wall after another wall, and then out of the end of the barn and just disappeared. And, you know, that was one of those things where I was sure, really glad somebody was with glad I was there by myself.
Because you're talking two witnesses, you know.
It was something that I always tell people, never go alone, not because somebody's going to get you, but because if something happens, nobody's going to believe you. And that was always, you know, one of the reasons I always make sure I've got somebody with me, and or most of the time anyway. In this case, I had a friend. Well, the only other time that I've ever seen one, I think, is probably the only other time that I've ever been on an investigation where, as my friend likes to say, I screamed like a little girl.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not embarrassed to admit it. Okay, well, I take that back. I am embarrassed to admit it. For about a year, I was telling people that it was my friend that screamed and not me. I'm sure it was me, because somebody screamed, and I'm pretty sure it was me. We were in Louisville, Kentucky at the Waverly Hills Tuberculosis Sanitarium. It's an old, empty, abandoned hospital that was shut down years ago, opened up like in 1911 as a TB hospital, and we were the only ones in it, and we were just really walking around the building, just kind of a tour of the place that he had taken me on, and we were just walking around, and we're walking down the corridor on the fourth floor, and as we're walking along, I would say probably 15, 20 feet ahead of us in the corridor, we didn't have any lights on, but it was just, because there's no electricity up there, but it was just light enough with the moon outside that you could see up ahead of you. And as we're walking along, somebody walked out of a doorway on the left-hand side of the hall, walked across the hall in front of us, and into the room on the other side. Now, the scream, I'm pretty sure it was me.
Let's put it that way.
The one thing I do remember is grabbing a hold of my friend and going, you know, what the hell was that? Did you see that? And he's like, yeah, I saw it, and we better see if there's anybody in here, because we thought we were the only people in there. And we got down to the room, we went to look inside, and the room's empty, and there's no way out. So whoever walked in there never came back out and just disappeared. So that was a case of where, you know, crap, I just saw a ghost. I didn't have to change my shorts or anything, but people asked me if I ever get scared, and I can say for a fact that I was that night. And it was one of those things where I'm not even sure why. I'm always telling people, oh, you know, don't be afraid of ghosts. They're not going to hurt you. But I'm the one who let out the yell. So who knows? You know, it's can be pretty spooky sometimes. That's my excuse.
Well, on a related note, I'm the one. I've seen one ghost once. And it scared the crap out of Scott L. because when I saw him, I slammed on the brakes. I was driving. We were driving through a cemetery looking, you know, we were going to park and then get out and start taking like a million photos, right? And I thought I was going to hit this guy because he was so close to the car when I turned a little corner. And I slammed on the brakes and Scott L. was like, and I'm like, big guy! And there was no guy there. But I saw him with my eyes. So, I mean, he was there and then he wasn't. So, and we got out, we searched. There was nobody there.
Took pictures, nothing, and nothing came up.
It was just that one ghost once.
Exactly.
And the thing is, and that's why this is so fascinating to me, is because I wonder how many ghost hunters, and I talk to a lot of ghost hunters, right? And I'm sure you do too. But the, how many go out and they take their EVPs and they take their cameras and they get the measurements of the temperatures and they try and detect, you know, with heat, you know, heat sensing and temperature sensing equipment.
Yeah.
And they're taking all these measurements and stuff like that. I wonder how many ghost hunters, like, because Scott L., you haven't seen a ghost, have you, yet?
Not really, no.
No, and very few actual paranormal things have happened.
A couple little things here and there.
So what's interesting is I wonder how many ghost hunters out there have, you know, oh, look, you know, I got an orb or I got a mist, and that's, you know, that's pretty exciting. That's great stuff,
yeah.
Right? But it's not quite like seeing a ghost and slamming on your brakes and then peeling your friend out of the windshield, you
no.
know. It's not like, you know, screaming like a little girl and grabbing not, you know, and grabbing hold of, oh my gosh, our, you know, we're not alone here, you know. So I wonder how many ghost hunters have actually got that that paranormal experience that really, you know, means something to them personally, like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you don't get that adrenaline charge, you know, looking at just to watch the scale on your meter spike up. I mean, it just doesn't happen. I mean, no. Wow, that's neat and all, but I always try to stress to people that the best tool that you can use as a ghost hunter is yourself.
Exactly.
Anything that actually happens to you is 10 times better than any photograph that you might take or a weird reading that you might get on a meter. I'm all for using the equipment. I think the equipment is great. I always tell people just make sure you know how to use it correctly, that, you know, you're not picking up, you know, some old lady's haunted microwave or, you know, whatever. Know how to use the stuff, but again, it's only as good as what you do with it, because I always try to stress to people, you know, yeah, you got a photograph, but what else happened? Did you see something? Did you hear something? Did you pick up with a different instrument? Did you pick up a cold spot? Is there any kind of corresponding activity? Because if you don't have it, one thing that happens really isn't that useful. So you got to pay attention to not just the meter in your hand, but what's going on around you at the same time. That's always the big thing, because I tell people, listen, this is all cool, and using all the meters and doing everything scientifically is great, but scientifically, you're going to have a real hard time proving that your place that you're investigating is haunted using science, because as far as science goes, it has rules. You have to have something that you can duplicate over and over and over again. Well, ghosts don't perform on command, so the chances of you doing that scientifically are tough. On the other hand, if you can talk to the people, and man, I can't stress how important it is to talk to the witnesses, talk to the homeowners, talk to the people who've had the experiences, because, you know, my big thing is that the only way you can prove a place is haunted is historically. Let's say you talk to a lady who lives in a house right now, and she says, oh, yeah, you know, I've got all kinds of stuff going on here. There's a ghostly man that appears standing at the middle of the staircase on the second Tuesday of every week. And this is what happens. Okay, well, great. Let me get back to you on that. Well, so now you've done a thorough history on the house, and you're talking to former homeowners, other people who've lived in the same house over the years who don't know each other. They don't know the lady who lives there now. They've never met her. But they say, you know, yeah, hey, as a matter of fact, the house was haunted. On the second Tuesday of every month, there was a man who would appear on the halfway down the staircase. Now, you've just proven that house is haunted, because these people don't know each other. They don't have any connection whatsoever, but yet they both have the exact same experience. And if you can go back even further and find the same things, it just keeps getting better and better. I did a show for the Learning Channel last year, that America's Ghost Hunters, that aired at the end of October. And when they called me about it, I talked to the producer, and he said, hey, listen, we're looking for people who specialize in certain things. We've got somebody who specializes in EVP. We've got somebody who has a computer system. We've got the people with the ghost hunting dog. I don't know if you saw the show or not.
Yes,
we've got the people with the ghost hunting dog. You know, we really want to have you on the show. Do you have a specialty? Do you have certain kinds of cameras or anything that you work with? And I said, well, I'll be honest with you, what I do doesn't translate that well onto television, because what I do doesn't have anything to do with fancy equipment or meters. What I do is prove that houses are haunted. Well, the guy perked right up, and he said, well, how do you do that? And I said, well, through history. Oh. And I said, let me explain. And so I explained to him, you know, using an example similar to what I just used for you guys. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I think we can use that. Well, and then when I got a lot of emails after the show was over from people, and they're like, you know, hey, we saw what you did, and we found it to be one of the most reliable things that we've seen. And so I keep trying to stress that, how important it is to find out the history of the places. I mean, it's a big thing for me. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm a history major, so history is like second nature for me. It's as important to me as the ghost stories are. Without a history behind it, I don't even think the ghost stories are even really that interesting. So that's something that's really, I'm really invested in. And, But I really think it works, and I try to stress that to people, how important it is. But also, again, like I said, how important it is to be aware of everything that's going on, not to get totally caught up in your equipment and your meters and cameras and stuff when you're on an investigation, because so many things can happen that you'll completely miss if you do. That's, I guess, my main point there that I wanted to get across. I don't know how I got onto that, but whatever.
Well,
let me ramble.
No,
you know what? Everything you just said is like
It's so true.
So true.
See, we're ghost hunters, right? And a lot of our listeners are ghost hunters, are interested in the paranormal. So what happens is a lot of us have been out and about, you know, and with our equipment and with our stuff. It's a completely different. It's a completely different kind of investigation when you go with a psychic medium, though.
Yeah,
because we've been out and about, and we've gotten our, you know, I mean, I've had paranormal things happen to me, and I've seen one shadow figure, I've seen one ghost, and then we spent I don't know if have you ever written about or heard about the Holly Hotel in Holly, Michigan?
No, I haven't. Oh. I've heard about it. I know that somebody has emailed me about it, and we've talked about it, but I'm not familiar with it at all. So.
What a place. Well, anyway, it's not really a hotel anymore. It's a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And we had the lady who's going to be on next week, I think, is Kelly McLeod. She's a psychic medium, and she did the seances. Well, they were called something else, but they were seances. And during Halloween week of, you know, last Halloween. And we got to spend time there the whole week at night until midnight pretty much every night. We were in the basement of this what I really honestly have to say is a haunted building, because there every night something paranormal happened. It was really, really bizarre. And some of these things happened to me or near me, or I noticed them. And so it's, and this is something that I don't usually get, because I've been ghost hunting for a couple of 3 years now or so.
Yeah.
And I'm talking ghost hunting. I mean, we do hardcore ghost hunting. This is one summer we were out if it wasn't every night, it was every other night. And we were out and about looking for ghosts, looking for haunted things, and you know, reading Shadowlands and you know, things like that. So we were really, really looking, and it's slowed down a bit now because of ghostly talk, but you know, we're out there looking, and then I go and I spend this week in the Holly Hotel, where the seance was going on, but I wasn't in the seance room, but we were outside of that room, and these paranormal things happen. Well, taking Kelly McLeod on a ghost investigation brings a completely different spectrum, because she talks to them, right? She talks to the ghosts. And so she can tell you, you know, take pictures over here because they're there and they want their picture taken. You know, I mean, it's completely different.
But in respect, though, to a psychic medium coming on an investigation with you, and respect to history, this is where they would correlate, too, because, I mean, really.
But see, that's the problem that I've often run into when I've tried to work with psychics. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that, you know, all psychics are phony baloney stuff. That's not my point at all. I haven't had good luck with it, and because of that, I don't do it very often. So I'm always interested to hear people who have success at it. I've got a good friend who lives in Pennsylvania who is a medium, and you know, her husband is always pretty much the same way I am with this. He's always kind of like, ah, okay, you know, there's a ghost right over here. Okay, sure there is, you know.
Well.
So, you know, he got into the habit of trying to verify it with the equipment and with the cameras and with the you know, the temperature sensors. And for me, that's the only way to do it. That's the only way to work with a medium. And before I do an investigation on a place, I pretty much know the ins and outs of the history, especially if it's a public place. If it's a private home, I do as much as I can, and then afterward follow it up. But with a public place, I always know going in what's going on and when. And so whenever, you know, bizarre stuff comes up, and a lot of times in my experience anyway, it has, you know, these weird things come up with, oh, it's a little girl and she hung herself here. Okay, but nobody ever did that here. You know, so that I have a problem with, but. So I'm always interested to hear people who have success with it, and it sounds like that's what you're talking about.
Well, for some reason, when I go on an investigation with Kelly, it's a completely different kind of thing, because you get all this interesting information that, of course, later can be either verified or not verified. I mean, some of the information can't get verified just because it's not recorded anywhere.
Right.
Well, I'll give you an example. Concerning Kelly.
Okay.
And concerning history at the same time. See, the thing I'm thinking of, because Troy brings up a very, very important thing here that a lot of people neglect. And I think that's why I think my interests have been going towards history a lot lately, too. Because I read about a place or a certain occurrence and whatnot, and I read about all the history behind this place and all the things that went down. Like we just talked about the Philadelphia experiment, for example,
yeah,
on Thursday.
Yeah.
And how much history is involved with that?
That's all history, yeah.
And to understand what's going on at the time during this occurrence, you have to understand what happened before that.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly, one night we were driving around. We were going from place to place one night. And she was in the back. We were in Will's pickup truck. And, with the one with the gun rack.
Yeah. and the couch in the back.
Yeah, the couch. She was riding in the back seat. Will was driving, of course, and I was riding shotgun. And she's like, Scott, you know, I see Indians around. You know, you're Indians with you, lots of Indians. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, what I'm getting out of this is that you have some relatives that fought in the Civil War. Now, it's likely because I have a lot of relatives that are from the South, as far as, you know, just history.
Well, wait a minute. What that has to do with Indians?
Well, wait.
I'm sorry. You lost me there.
I'm the same way. I'm like, okay, I don't get it.
What happened was these gentlemen, what Kelly told me, is that these gentlemen, you know, who went to war, they would meet Indians. They would be, you know, this is a very early time, so there was lots of Indians still around. And they got together with them. And some of them got pregnant. And they had children. So this is high level, too, obviously. It's coming, you know, it's a reading, so to say, high level. She's like, yeah, so you have some Indian in you, I think. Because you have relatives that went out there and fornicated with Indians. Basically.
Oh, my goodness.
I followed this up a little bit.
Oh, you did? Okay.
This is as far as I've gotten with it, really. I have been able to verify that I've had two relatives, two distant, you know, not even distant, but they're in my bloodline, that did fight in the Civil War. And there,
okay.
I talked about that cemetery in
yes.
Nameless, Tennessee.
Nameless, Tennessee, yeah.
They're buried there.
Okay.
They're buried there. It's like I said, these are little things, but it's going back, like Troy said, going back and investigating this kind of stuff, even after the fact, to see if it correlates in some way. That's kind of light. I'm reaching a little bit, I know, but
well, it's still something that can be. You can still dig and look at the history. Okay, Troy. This is what's been on my mind since we started talking about history, and I there's this fellow here in Michigan named Frederick Stonehouse.
Yeah, I know who he is.
He wrote two books called Haunted Lakes and Haunted Lakes 2.
Yeah.
He's a historian.
Uh-huh.
That's what he is. He's contracted by universities and governments and, you know, small governments, not like, you know, the government of Russia or anything. But local governments and maybe even the state of Michigan, I don't know. But he's contracted by people to write historical works about whatever topic they want him to write about.
Uh-huh.
And his specialty is naval history.
Right.
You know, or you know, not naval, but
Great Lakes. He's written several books on lighthouses and ships and stuff.
Lighthouses and ships and things, and that kind of thing absolutely fascinates me because right in that book, he in his little bio thing or his introduction or whatever, he's like, "I never in a million years thought I would ever write about this kind of stuff." Well, he didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing, but he really did not think he would ever write that because he's a fairly serious fellow. But he had just collected these stories through time, you know, by talking, you know, by investigating the histories that he was trying to investigate in order to write, you know, what he's been contracted to write. And I just wonder, like, these are ghosts of, you know, ghost ships and lighthouses and, you know, because he specializes in that. And that kind of thing, those have got to be pretty huge, because I know when I first picked up a book, I was like, oh my gosh, this is fascinating. And I went out and bought the second one.
Uh-huh.
Because, and this is from a historian.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's been going through my mind since you started talking about history, is how fascinated I was with Frederick Stonehouse and his treatment of, you know, the haunted Great Lakes.
Well, and I completely agree with you. And those, to be honest with you, those are the types of books that I have an interest in reading because that's the type of book I write. 90% of my books, and I've actually had people like bitch about me on, like, Amazon.com. Oh, I didn't know it was going to be the history of everything. it's called Haunted Illinois, and without the history, there's no ghost stories.
Exactly.
The books are about 90% history and about 10% ghosts for the most part, other than, like, the guidebooks or the manuals that I do, you know, on ghost hunting. Otherwise, there are a lot of history because, I mean, what good is a ghost story if you don't have the history behind it? And, you know, a lot of just straight historians, guys who, you know, work for universities or whatever, they hate this kind of stuff. The reason that they hate it is not necessarily even often because they don't believe in it. They hate it because people are interested in it. They're going to pick up, okay, let's say you walk into a bookstore and there on the shelf are two books sitting side by side. Now, okay, just be a member of the general public. You're not a ghost hunter. You're just a guy who's going in, and you need to, you, for some reason, you're interested in a book on the Great Lakes, and you walk into a bookstore, and there sitting on the shelf is The History of the Great Lakes on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side is Haunted Lakes, Ghost Stories and Legends and the History of the Great Lakes mixed together. Which one are you going to pick up? You're going to pick up the one that's got the ghost stories in it, because for the most of the general public, they don't necessarily want to read strictly history. They want to read ghost stories or something with some interest to it, something with some excitement to it. So my thing is to put in as much history as possible, as long as it goes along with the story, and then put the ghost story in as well, because that way people get history without even realizing they're getting it.
And that's a good way of, how would you say, candy coating in a way?
Well,
but
I can't tell you how much.
It is. You're exactly right. It's exactly what it is. You're giving, it's a spoonful of sugar to help the history go down.
Exactly. I am the first one to say right here, history class.
Oh God. Yeah. I know you're historic. You're a historian.
Most people hate it. Most people hate it. Now, see, it was my favorite subject, but majority of people I know absolutely hate it. Well, I've got a friend who's a history teacher, and he had me come into his classes last spring when they were covering the Civil War and talk about haunted places of the Civil War. Well, you want to bet every kid showed up for class that day because they were fascinated with it. That's all they talked about, he said, for a week afterward, was the ghost stories. And that's, you know, people like that kind of stuff. So, you know, your straight-laced historians, they hate this kind of stuff because they feel like it takes away from the pure history. But I don't agree with that at all.
I think it's exactly the opposite because all of a sudden, after reading Haunted Lakes by Stonehouse, I knew so much about the history of the Great Lakes that I felt like, oh my gosh, I know way too much now. I know, like, what's the ship, is it the QE2? Or, no, I don't know. It's some ship that's like, first they just now made it for England, and
it's the
Queen Mary II, and the first thing that happened was they opened it up to the families of the people who built the ship, and the dock like collapsed and killed a bunch of their kids or something.
Oh, that's very nice.
No, but this really happened. I mean, it happened like a couple months ago.
Okay,
and so immediately I'm like, ooh, a hoodoo ship. You know, I just like, boom, I know the lingo all of a sudden, you know, because I read this book by Frederick Stonehouse, and I'm kind of, you know, oops, that now I'm a naval or a historical shipyard geek or something.
It's good to learn about that, though. I find, I'm now, the older I get, I find myself wanting to read so much more history as a result of studying all these ghost stories.
Yeah, I find that it's extremely important because of what my hobby is.
What you're trying to do, and everywhere we go, there is a history to the place we go.
Speaking of history, Troy, you're not single-handedly responsible, but you're one of the two people who are responsible for our trips to Jackson, Michigan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've headed out the past 3 years in a row, or was this my fourth year? I don't remember.
It's your third year, I think. It was your third year.
Third year was the snowstorm. This was my fourth year.
Oh, it was your fourth year, okay.
The week before Thanksgiving,
yeah.
The ghost of Eunice White visits her father, Jacob Crouch.
Right.
Okay. And I don't know if you see the statistics on your website, but I link that up every single year, so it must like go absolutely insane around November. that page gets loaded like a couple thousand times or something.
A lot of emails and a lot of traffic about that thing. We, in fact, just in the December issue of our magazine, one of our American Ghost Society members has been, I want to say, obsessed with that case forever, and did a huge write-up on it for the magazine. So we'll have that loaded up before next year's anniversary, the whole expanded article with a lot of photographs, a lot of period photos, and an investigation into the murders and everything. She did a great bang-up job on it, and we'll have that loaded up before next year. But, yeah, that really gets a lot of local interest. But didn't the cops show up this year?
Yes, indeed they did.
Yeah, we didn't last very long.
Well, see, the first year I went, it was like there were all these people. This was 4 years ago. There were like tons of people there. And I asked. I went there specifically because the who's the Ghost Hunters? Ghost Hunters Society had posted it up on their website, and I'm like, I want to go meet these Great Lakes Ghost Hunter Society people. So that's why I went there the first year, and the first, that was 4 years ago, and that happened to be the night before Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving Eve, if there is such a thing.
Yep.
And I went there, and they weren't there. There was nobody from any ghost hunting group there, but there were lots of people.
Yeah, the general public just shows up for that kind of stuff.
They just show up, and I talk. I had fascinating conversations with a lot of people. The second year I went, it was cold, and something paranormal happened that year, by the way. Then the second year I went, there was not so many people, but it was still a lot of people, and there was, you know, they weren't from any ghost hunter societies. And I'm like, I don't get it. Why do I keep missing? How do I keep missing the ghost hunters, you know?
Yeah.
And then the third year was the snowstorm.
Yeah, we died that night. You're talking the spirit form of us right now. We're still dead.
Yeah, we're frozen corpsicles, and we're still standing outside the... Because it was...
We froze ourselves for 6 hours.
It was bad. It was really bad weather that year. And then last year, we all show up. Finally, you know, Ghostly Talk has, you know, because I do Ghostly Talk and I'm in, you know, a ghost hunting group, suddenly I'm talking to all these ghost hunters, and we're like, yeah, let's all meet at Reynolds Cemetery.
Yep.
We all met there, and then we all got kicked out.
Yep.
Yeah, that stuff sometimes can turn around backfire on you. There's a place down south of us on the Mississippi River in southern Illinois called Fort Duchart, and it's an old French fort. And there's supposed to be, every so many years, there's a phantom funeral procession that takes place.
Ooh.
And according to the legend, you know, only three people can see it. And it only happens when the 4th of July falls on a Friday. I don't know how the story got started. But, you know, it's one of those stories that I've really taken too seriously because, I mean, you know, 4th of July falls on a Friday, that seemed like kind of a reach to me. And so I didn't really take it that seriously, but I thought, oh, what the heck, you know, we'll publicize it. And this was 97 was the last time before this past year. And we put it up on our website and, you know, hey, where are you going to be when the dead walk on 4th of July? You know, and that kind of stuff. And so we put it all up on there. And then my wife and I didn't go. We thought, well, you know, I'm not really convinced on this, but, you know, we're going to be traveling through the area on the 5th. Let's stop in there and see, you know, if anything happens. So this old fort's there, and it's been rebuilt, and the phantom funeral procession is supposed to leave the front doors of the fort, and they're supposed to walk along this road to a cemetery near this little town that's nearby called Prairie du Rocher. And so we got to the fort, and it's the 5th of July. There's nobody around. It's pretty quiet. And they've got this little, like a little trading post inside the fort. They sell, like, period stuff and books about the area and stuff, and we went in, and you know, I was in there chatting up the lady that worked behind the counter that owns the shop, and my wife's overlooking through the guest book they have there in the shop. And she's turning page after page after page after page of people who've been there the night before. And of all these names we kept recognizing, people we knew who'd come down and all this stuff. And I'm over there chatting the lady up, and I'm all smiles and everything. And I said, yeah, I said, we came by, and how was the crowd yesterday? And, you know, I said, yeah, we advertised a little bit on our website. And this woman who's chatting with me, right, suddenly just freezes right in front of me.
No.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you're that guy. Like, three people are supposed to see this ghost. She told me there were at least 3,000 people there.
Oh, my gosh.
And they drove up and down the road between the fort and the town all night long. and I mean just and the beer cans and the, you know, because most of the people who show up aren't ghost hunters. Most of the people who show up are just, you know, Joe Blow off the street thinking they're going to see a ghost. And so I thought, oh God, well that was bad, you know. And so it rolls around again, you know, 7 years passed or 6 years passed, I guess because of the leap year or something. And it happened again. 4th of July fell on a Friday this past summer in 2003. Well, starting in like March or April, I started to get phone calls, TV stations, newspapers, everything. Oh, you're going to be out there? Are you? And I'm like, no, and no, and I'm discouraging everyone from going. Really, it's a great story, but that's all. Don't go out there. The people of Prairie du Rocher don't want you to go out there. And so it was actually a little bit better this year. People showed up, but they were a little bit better behaved than they were back in 97. So I didn't get any hate mail or anything from the people down there this time. So.
Well, if it's if it's any consolation, all the years that I was out to Reynolds Cemetery, everybody was extremely well behaved and really actually serious.
Good. Well, that's good. That's good.
And I heard a lot of legends. A lot of people, you know, oh, my boss. The first year, the one guy said, my boss says, you know, don't go because he says he'll never come there again. You know, on the 21st of November.
Yeah.
He'll never go there again on the 21st of November because he went one the year before I was there. And the first time, and he saw it. That's what this fellow said his boss told him. So, you know, he saw Eunice White. So everybody around the area takes it very seriously. But there were people there from Ohio. There were people there from far-flung places in Michigan.
Illinois.
People from Illinois. There were, it was just, but they're all very well behaved. The police really had no reason to kick us out, but
yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's what I had heard too.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
My friend who had written that article for us said that it was, you know, that they had gotten kicked out, but that, you know, nobody was causing a problem or anything. I think they were just got nervous about it.
Well, I was there, and we weren't causing any problems. As a matter of fact, we were looking. I was looking at pictures on a laptop of other people's investigations.
Oh yeah,
people brought their equipment. And they knew that other ghost hunters would be there, so they brought laptops, they brought, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I was looking at previous investigation photos, not of Reynolds, but of other hunts. And it was quite fascinating. And then we got kicked out. We all ended up at Denny's.
But, it was fun.
But between,
it was probably Denny's who sent the cops down there.
Yeah.
To kick
They're like,
oh, we're the close. There.
They made some money off us.
They
that
did.
Night.
They
yeah,
did.
So,
God,
you know.
But we had. But it was you and Marion Kuklow. The late Marion Kuklow.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. That she's got an amazing book too. I mean, that book. I'm kind of sad she, you know, passed on and couldn't share more about. See, because I'm from Michigan, right? So I'm pretty much specifically. I'm always very interested in Michigan because that's where I can, you know, go out ghost hunting. But oh, I know. We're going to lose you.
We're going to lose you.
Is it that time already? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
The hour flew by.
Yeah.
I'm so depressed. But you know what? We're going to actually see you at the Michigan Ghost Hunter Conference in August.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Can we get a picture with you?
I don't spend much time up there, so.
Can we get a picture with you when we get there?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, because we'll put it on the Ghostly Talk site.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
We'll have our arms around you and stuff, hugging you.
It'll be
great.
To my best friends in the world. You know. I get those requests sometimes. They make me nervous.
But no, I think it's going to be awesome because we're gonna actually see you at the Michigan Ghost Hunter Conference in August. And there's a story up on the Ghostly Talk site about that if you want any ghost hunters and paranormal people who want information on that.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, let's talk about your website before you go. Tell us about your website and how people can get in touch with you and things like that.
Well, the easiest way, that's the easiest way. Just go right to the website. We've got two different addresses that will take you to our website. I think earlier you mentioned prairieghost.com. Prairieghost.com is directly to our Ghosts of the Prairie website. We added another link, too, because I found out that, you know, a lot of people misspell prairie, and if you misspell it, you get a porn site.
All right! Yeah!
We had so much traffic that they, you know, how they do that, they get domains near yours and put up porn, and so then people accidentally get that instead. So we put up also historyandhauntings.com. And that's sometimes a little easier for people, easier spelled than prairie, I guess.
Yeah.
So either way, you can go, you can email me right from the site. We started out as just a little website. We've been on the web now, well, I guess it'll be 8 years. And we started out as just a little site about Illinois, and we've got, oh, God, we've got volumes and volumes and volumes of stuff up there now. Our entire catalog is up there. We've got over 600 ghost books that we have available in our haunted bookstore in Alton, and we've—I mean, there's just tons of stuff there. They can keep you busy for days. So I mean, and that's without sleeping days.
Well, it's between.
We have lots of stuff, so definitely stop by and see us. And as I said, drop me an email from the site. You're really easy to get a hold of me.
Excellent. All right.
Thank
well,
you
that,
so much.
Thank you, Troy.
Okay, guys, take care. And
keep up the
see
great work
in August.
Yes, excellent. I'll see you in August. And yeah, keep up the great work.
It's
absolutely phenomenal stuff. We look forward to every book you publish.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
So,
all right, guys. Take care.
Take care of yourself, you. Troy.
Okay,
thank
bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, wow.
That was Troy Taylor.
Troy Taylor.
Troy Taylor.
Called
author.
Ghostly Talk.
I know. Is that totally rocks. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Troy rules. Troy. The guy, he's an encyclopedia.
Well, exactly.
Yes, he knows so much.
I'm kind, you know, I knew we'd only have an hour.
Yeah.
Because he says, oh, I've got these things, and that's no problem.
Yeah.
The thing is, I there's so many things that you could probably talk to him about. I'm glad we got to talk about ghost hunting.
Exactly.
You know, that when he was out and he saw ghosts when ghost hunting, because that's what we do.
Well, yeah,
so,
exactly.
And I wonder if that's different than other kinds of interviews,
uh-huh.
You know, like the drive time, you know, shock jock kind
we
of
know
stuff.
We know how it works.
So I'm thinking that this interview, I'm hope, or it's not really an interview on Ghostly Talk. I know
maybe we transferred some information via the internet that people can use.
I hope so.
That's the big point.
And I hope it was refreshing for Troy to get for Troy Taylor to get to talk about this stuff as opposed to, you know, just the
you ever seen that movie Ghostbusters?
Yeah, exactly. So I hope so. I hope he had fun as well.
Exactly.
I enjoyed it. Let's go to break.
Let's take a break. We need a break.
That was it was a short hour. It went like really fast.
Yeah. We just went through another break. We just said, screw it. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, but I need ice. So we're going to take a break. I'm going to run up and get ice. We'll be right back after this.
Services such as web and pop3 email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Free streaming and downloadable videos.
MrOlaf.com. That's www.MROLAF.com.
Videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
This is Fat Jesus, lead singer of the band Zero Recourse, and when I've arisen on a Sunday, I will check out the world through the eyes and ears of my boys in Ghostly Talk.
I want to give a shout out. I do.
What's up, yo?
Yo, what up?
He goes to talk and get some shouts out, yo.
Yeah, shout out. Shout out to all my friends.
My homies.
My friends in the chat room.
Down with the gang, yo.
Yeah, we've got Matt of Ghost Trackers in there. I'm in there. Will's in there. LFM's away. Phobos is in there. Rich, who does Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookies,
hello,
in there.
Rich.
Snow Queen's in there. Gina Karma is in the chat room.
The hell yeah!
I know. She's in the chat room. I noticed she's not sitting. Well, Bonnie's sitting where Karma usually sits. So her seat's warm.
The Bonnie
is sitting there. Yeah. So Karma's in the chat room. Rob from WPAR, for W Paranormal.
Hi, Rob.
You know, W Paranormal is on. That airs on Pioneer Radio at midnight. So when Sunday turns into Monday, midnight Eastern time.
Yeah.
So great, just a great show. Oh, gosh, yeah. And it's, 3 hours after ours?
Yeah.
Right now, 10, 11.
Alfie's
in there.
Hi,
Bud Ancato. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. And then Evil Drew Loner, Scott K. of StagehandTools.com. Mm-hmm. StagehandTools.com.
Mm-hmm.
Tracker, Tweak 15, and 235 are all in the chat room, and they're just like chatting it up.
We got some fresh news here.
Yeah?
Hot
off the press.
Wayne brought me some designs for my new tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, he brought some designs for the MGB logo.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Very cool. And we have all these people down here in the Haunted Basement studio right now. We can't actually move. I mean, we're actually safe because we're sitting and we have mics in front of our faces.
Right. But, so they won't push us out.
Yeah,
away.
So they're piling in as we speak right now. What's going on?
Well, we're going to go on an investigation.
After here. Yeah.
Yeah. After we're done with the show. So.
Like we said that earlier, I'm going to get the archive up as soon as possible.
But it'll be later tonight than usual. Usually it's up, you know, by midnight or so.
We just mentioned tonight. W Paranormal. After you're done listening to W Paranormal, our archive will be up. At 1 a.m.
Cool.
That's my deadline. I'll have it up by 1 a.m.
I promise. That works. That works for me.
We're going on an investigation.
Of course, I already heard the archive. I heard it live. So
you know it's going to suck.
Yes. No, because it's Troy Taylor's.
Well, yeah, but we suck, though.
Well,
Troy
our part.
It's lame. I mean, we have nothing.
I mean
Troy,
what did we ask him? It's like, so did you ever see a ghost? You finally get Troy Taylor on the phone, right? And you're talking to Troy Taylor, the guy who wrote like 8 million books about ghosts and hauntings and how to ghost hunt and stuff like that. And then we're like, oh, did you ever see?
Really, I froze right up. Freely from Kiss.
Yeah.
I got to meet the Ace Frehley from Kiss and, the summer of 1996, Tiger Stadium, when they did their first reunion tour.
Oh, man.
And my friend, long story, but I got backstage and there he is sitting in a chair.
Oh, my God.
There he is sitting in a chair. And I'm like, he's like, dude, you want to go meet him? And I'm like, and I totally froze. And all I could say was like, wow, hi. You're Ace Frehley. Wow. Now, the best part was,
like,
is that what he responded with was even better, though. I'm like, oh, my God, you're Ace Frehley. It's an honor to meet you. You're my, like, whole life. And this is what he responds with. So, you guys, like, going to drink some beers or what? And we're
party.
Of course, I'm like, okay, I'm backstage with Kiss. Beer is, like, yes.
Yeah.
Like the adult milk and cookies right now. We're going to drink beer. But, I mean, same thing with Troy. I mean, okay. So he's here. We've had about 4 months to get ready for this. And in usual Ghostly Talk fashion, we're ill-prepared. No. I think we did, like you said before the break, we talked about the things that should have been talked about.
That I think he enjoys talking about. Because,
yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, I'm sure he gets that grilled. So when did this book come out?
What's the publication date of this book? Who cares?
I know. Or
find out what this guy does. And he's a ghost hunter.
Yeah.
And he's a historian in purest form, too.
Exactly. So that totally rocks. Oh, Kelly, did you go to the psychic fair today? And how did the... Do you have any cards left, or did they go like crazy?
I do, because it was a little bit quieter today, because I think the sunshine got everybody...
Oh,
that's quite a happening sweatshirt you have on.
Yeah.
I figured so. Well, wow, so, look at that.
Yeah, what we did is we created up
Thanks for showing me your boob, Wayne.
We created up some cards for Kelly. We created up some cards for Kelly to pass out at the fair about next week. Is it? It's next week you're on, right?
I'm on.
Yeah, you're going to be on Ghostly Talk with us.
Yes, Kelly will be here next weekend.
Speaking of which, why don't we say give the rules?
What's the rules?
The rules are the rules of the haunted hotline.
Oh, yeah.
Next week.
Actually, it's the dynamics of the haunted hotline.
It's the dynamics of the haunted hotline, yes. So here's how it works. Next week, we're going to have psychic medium Kelly McLeod in the studio.
Live,
taking your telephone calls.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do, write this down, or you can get this off the website. It's 1-888-520-1969.
Mm-hmm.
So write it down or get it off the website. What happens is when you call the haunted hotline, if it's ringing, you're next. Don't hang up.
You will. The phone will pick up sooner or later.
Yeah, we will pick up the phone when we're done with a sentence or two or a thought. And so we pick up the line. So if it's ringing, you're next. Yeah. That's the rule. If it's busy, someone's already on.
Yeah.
And someone's either ringing or on. So that's how it works.
That's the only thing.
And so when you call, it's free for you to call. 1-888-520-1969. Completely free. You can call from Canada. You can call from the United States. There's some other places you can call from, but I don't know where. And
Antarctica?
Oh, maybe. Both people in Antarctica can call.
The North Pole.
Yeah. And what'll happen is Kelly McLeod is a psychic medium. She talks to your loved ones on the other side.
Exactly.
So she will be able to bring messages from them to you.
She also brings jewelry into the studio too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work here. I'm trying to jam with you right now, Doug. And there's these necklaces floating by.
Yeah.
And there's this
yeah.
little hand coming by my face, and I'm like, what are you saying?
The women communicate, I think, telepathically or something.
Yeah, they communicate
and
with
through
diamonds.
Body language and diamonds.
Have you ever seen? I mean, I know this because I work in an office. Have you ever seen a woman who just got her first engagement ring? And by first engagement ring, I mean that.
Oh,
literally.
Oh yeah,
okay.
yeah.
And then the hens start clucking away all around them. And it's all, ooh, ah, ooh, oh, it's so sweet. Oh, it's so beautiful. Why are you touching me? I'm being touched.
He wants to know if you want some cheesecake.
So we're going to have another occurrence of that. I have a. I'm not going to.
You know, that's
year.
Absolutely amazing.
No matter how drunk I get on the 13th of March.
Because we're going to be around here.
I'll tell you what, can we at least wait for my parents to leave when you do that, Wayne? Because I'm still taking hits from that from my old man.
I think it was awesome.
Oh, yeah, you think it was awesome.
Well, I got
to happen
to
you.
Yeah,
you
got
to watch it.
Yeah.
It's funny for you guys.
Hey, he got cheesecake from me.
Did he?
Yeah, I got cheesecake
from
him.
What's a little... Look, he's a big burly dude with tattoos on his arms.
Well, the thing is, it's so paranormal. It's outside of the normal.
But the sickest part was our teeth rubbed.
Oh, well, see, now
that was too much,
that's
man.
More information.
I mean, he also just slipped his tongue in there.
That's more information than I wanted to know, so thanks.
Well,
we're done.
Well, you said it's out of the ordinary. I'm telling you how out of the ordinary...
Rep. Who didn't turn off their phone?
I'm getting Doc Pay.
So anyway, Kelly's going to be in studio next week.
Hang on, you want to hear some funny stuff? Might as well just run with this.
A live phone call. Okay.
Hello.
What up?
What's up?
Dude, every time I run the program from our website, I always got a runtime error has occurred.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm on the website right now.
What website?
Our website.
Oh, the band's website. Well, you know what? You're on another website right now. You know that? You're live on the radio right now. Hello?
Call me later when you're done.
Bye, Rabbit.
Bye, Rabbit. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
That was the DJ of
MFPS.
Of MFPS. If you want to know what website he was on teammfps.com.
Yeah, we just did a facelift to it. We're
yeah.
brand new again. But apparently he can't get to it.
Well, you know.
He's a moron. He doesn't even know how to use a computer.
T-E-A-M.
You know, I get phone calls like that like 3 times a day from him. Hey, man, how do I click on this link? I don't get it, man. I'm trying to get that email you sent me, man. What do I do? Well, you click on that thing that says Microsoft Outlook.
Oh, no, that's hard.
Oh, well, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were we doing? I'm sorry.
Even remember now, but they're modeling.
Oh, we're modeling now.
Yeah, they're modeling.
This is great.
The studio.
This is what you call filler. We call this filler in the haunted basement studio.
Well, I tried to keep it serious.
Okay, well, I guess we started with a cheesecake, right?
I started keeping it serious with the cheesecake.
Chicago style.
I've been
to Chicago. We've talked about that already. So we've had
on the show. Let's change gears real quick.
Okay, we're back.
Is that what it sounds like? And we've had on the show. We've had Troy Taylor. We've had Nancy Miller Agron. We're having what's our show series? We're having Kelly McLeod, psychic medium,
next weekend.
Kelly McLeod,
and then we get to that. Guess who we have on? Guess.
Yes.
Guest appearance by the Bonnie here, and she knows more about it than you do.
Is her mic on?
I don't know if they heard that, so let's say no. Aaron Donahue.
Yes, Aaron Donahue on February 1st.
Yeah.
And
that's going to be fun, but, well, for some people.
It's going to be very interesting because there's developments. There's
a lot going on.
A lot of stuff has happened in the remote viewing community, mm-hmm. Of which, of course, Aaron is, the best remote viewer or the most accurate remote viewer. And then, of course, since then he took that and he's like, no, now I've developed PAN.
Practical application and non-historical data.
And because of...
I say that fast.
And PAN is highly, highly accurate. You take all the accuracies... Because according to Aaron, the levels are... you get psychic impressions,
uh-huh.
and he's a psychic as well, so mm-hmm. he gets psychic impressions.
Yeah.
But then more accurate than that is remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And then more accurate than that,
yeah.
the highest amount of accuracy is PAN.
Wow.
So there's more developments about that. There's more developments about the way the people of Earth and the things we're doing to the Earth have accelerated. There's a lot of information going to come out on that show.
Well, as we said before, it don't take a remote viewer
to see,
or any type of sensitive to see what the hell we've done to the planet.
Yeah, and so
I mean, and Aaron acknowledges that too. It's not like we're ripping on him. He's like, yeah, I mean, really, it's pretty much common sense here. Guys. I mean,
look at what's going on. Look at the state of governments. Look at the state of war.
Exactly.
Look at the state of terrorism. Look at the state of the ecology. Which is, like, pretty depressing if you look at it, really.
It's very depressing.
Look at all the stuff we've done, and we're still using fossil fuels and that kind of thing. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well,
and it's accelerating the
decline. I'll throw one at you that's going to make you laugh hysterically.
Uh-oh.
This is a new thing I've read up on.
Yeah?
A lot of, seeing the fact that we've taken a lot of funding away from the national budget towards education.
Mm-hmm.
Education. Education. A lot of the schools, in order to get funding for programs now, have to go to corporations.
Oh, wow.
So what do you think happens once a corporation gives them funding?
Well, then, of course, the lots of things change. Like,
well, instead of a pep banner, we have a... For example, pep with two letters after it.
Uh huh.
You know what I'm saying? Okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to say that.
My favorite.
I know it's your favorite, but there's a point here. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You have instead of this
everything is all logoed.
Everything's
all of a
logoed now, and I've been to high schools in the last couple months. I've walked through gyms, and it's amazing because I remember when I was 10 years ago when I was in high school, you'd have we're number one, you suck.
Good.
Even when I was a swimmer, for example, and we used to have pep banners everywhere. It's just mm-hmm. Warren, which we suck, but Warren was we're number one. We're the best, right? Now, if you look around, there are advertisements
mm-hmm.
Everywhere. Well, on top of that, though, just let me run with this.
No, I'm going to add to it too. Go ahead.
Well, on top of that, once the corporation gets their hands into education like that, they're also going to lay their influence down too, along with their banners.
Mm-hmm.
For example, on one corporation, I'm going to keep the names out of it. Actually, say this in one of their pamphlets. I read this. There's no problem with cutting down the trees in rainforest for the simple fact that when you cut down a tree, it lets in more sunlight for ground-dwelling animals, and it's good for them.
Oh my gosh!
I've read this.
They won't
this.
Be able to breathe or anything.
Yeah, well,
but they'll have nice suntans.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, the thing I was going to add was that there are actually programs where certain, like junk food is huge, absolutely huge, and so am I. But because of the junk food. But junk food is huge. It's a humongous moneymaker because, you feed in your dollar or whatever and you get your can of soda. You feed in your dollar, you get your, you know, snack cake kind of thing. Yeah, hooray!
Great.
You feed in, you know, feed in your dollar, and you get your little tiny
capitalist.
Yeah, things in that you eat that have chocolate in them.
Yeah.
So you know, you get feed a dollar in, and you get this junk food. Well. Junk food manufacturers, I don't know if this is true. I've only heard this, and this is very conspiratorial. And if anybody's ever read any journal I've ever written, especially that last one, conspiracy theories are not really my bag, but I do seem to know about them for some reason. Programs where the junk food manufacturers, the soda manufacturers, the junk food manufacturers, that kind of thing, they will pay a high school and a junior high to only exclusively carry their kinds of junk food.
Yay.
So like if you're a junk food maker that makes a specific candy bar, right? Of course they make multiple candy bars, you know, not like a junk food manufacturer won't just make one candy bar and say this is our whole line of junk food. But they'll make several varieties. And they'll go to the school and say, "Okay, you know, here's, you know, what do you need? You need equipment for the swim team. You need equipment for the basketball team or whatever.
So we can puke our logo all over your school.
We want to put our logo all over, and we want to exclusively sell our junk food in the vending machines and at your cafeteria." Mm-hmm.
No wonder kids are stupid these days.
I mean, I don't think like Atkins, you know, at the Atkins Foundation or whatever, now that Robert Atkins is gone, I don't think Atkins like has their, you know, like, good for you junk food in there because they haven't paid the schools enough.
You know what? When you were on that Atkins diet,
oh, it was wonderful.
I watched some of the stuff that you ate.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is a diet.
I ate like a cow. I got to eat tons and tons and tons of food, and I'm going back to it. I'm back to it. Yeah.
Wow.
Because
after the kickboxing classes.
Oh, that's another thing. Kickboxing.
Mr. Brand New Slim.
What?
You get to beat up girls? Cool.
Yeah. Is it going to rock?
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Kelly's going to be in kickboxing.
You're
going
to be in kickboxing?
Co-ed boxing. Co-ed.
I'm going to be in the women's co-ed boxing. This is going to be great. What a way to meet chicks. Did you know some of
the colleges actually had McDonald's? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My college had a
specific...
Had a very large fast food manufacturer, and they were actually shut down by the Board of Health. I'm not going to lie to you. They were actually shut down by the Board of Health. And it was gone, true. Which, you know, I didn't really shop there. I mean, eat there anyways, but regardless.
This is uber depressing.
I know. We just, like, depressed ourselves.
I know. We're like, okay, we went from all this wonderful ghost hunting to absolute total mayhem, and then we went to conspiracy and how corporations are taking over the minds of our youth.
But God, it,
oh, my gosh.
You know what? I'm sorry. This has to be talked about sometimes.
Yeah.
It does. You know, you got a problem with it, whatever.
AlexJones.com. But
read my journals. Now.
You won't find it in my journal.
I'm
anyway,
more hateful every day. I swear.
I want to tell everyone, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah,
I hope you enjoyed Troy Taylor, our guest today.
I know
we've got amazing guests coming up, including next week. I want everybody to tune in and listen live to psychic medium Kelly McLeod. Who's going to be taking your calls
live in the studio?
Live in the studio,
yeah, she is right now,
and she'll be talking perhaps to your loved ones on the other side and bringing you messages from them. Well,
Aaron
we'll
Donahue,
see what happens.
February 1st.
Aaron Donahue, February 1st.
I can't remember after that. I don't want to think.
Well,
that far
Pat
after
Patu's
that.
Coming up. Edward M. Kraft.
But as far as details, I just don't know them right now. We've got
this amazing, and these aren't really interviews. I call them discussions. So we've got this amazing series going on now with Ghostly Talk. Enjoy it.
More to come.
I have to say, I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
Our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. See you next week.
Have a good week.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.